questions and tell you what to do in your landscape each week. And so we have had a great week this week. We had rain coming in, which we desperately needed. The temperatures are cooler, 50s and 30s up in North Florida we had this week.
Oh, yeah. And it was 47, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday morning when I walked out of the studio at 9 a.m. I was like, oh, how did it get colder?
It did, but I love it. And so we've got rain, and we're going to get rain the middle of next week. So we're starting to get into the rainy season a little bit with the cooler temperatures. So that's really good. Also, too, I will be speaking today at the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival in DeLand. And it is right downtown DeLand. You can hear all of the vendors that are going to be, or all of the speakers. Really great. I'll be doing a talk on natural pest control, but you'll be able to buy wildflower seeds, wildflowers, native plants, garden art, all kinds of different types of tools. And lots of great vendors there. So it'll be fun for the children. DeLand has wonderful restaurants to go to and a great candy store. And so all of those fun things to do. It'll be a great time. Florida Wildflower Festival, it'll be from 8 to 3 p.m. this afternoon and tomorrow, too, as well. So it'll be a great weekend. Also, it is the dirty word of the day. Here comes John Denver. Thank you.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is califery. Califery, C-A-U-L-I-F-L-O-R-Y. Califery is a botanical term referring to plants that flower and fruit from their main stems on woody trunks rather than new growth and shoots. What do I mean by that? Well, actually, when you're looking at a tree like a Jabotocaba is a tropical fruit tree, the fruits actually look like they're growing from the trunk of the tree. It is rare in temperate regions, but common in tropical forests. There have been several strategies to distinguish among the different types of califery plants, including the location or age of the branch, where the inflorescences grew, or whether the inflorescences are attached to stolons or branches. Califery is a homologous phenomenon with several different sources of development and evolutionary value. And so, yes, if you can get that word, that'll be great. It's one frequently suggested hypothesis for the evolution of califery is to allow trees to be pollinated or have their seeds dispersed by animals, especially bats, that climb on trunks and sturdy limbs to feed on the nectar and fruits. Some species may instead have fruit which drops from the canopy and ripen only after they reach the ground. Some of the different varieties of species are, alongside Jabotocabas, are cluster figs, and then also jackfruit and breadfruit. Then there's also, too, the Brazilian grape tree, which is the Jabotocaba. And then also, going down the list of ones that we can grow here, soapberry and natal iron plum. And then also, too, we have the Anona plants. And so califery is the dirty word of the day. If you're stuck to the trunk of a tree and you need to describe it, you can say it's califeric. And so that will be the dirty word of the day. I thought it was interesting. Sounds like cauliflower. It is not. It's almost spelled like cauliflower. And as we know, cauliflower is stuck right to the branches and doesn't have a stem or, you know, a long branch that it grows on. So that is the dirty word of the day. Lizzie, have you ever heard of No Mow May?
Yes, but I heard it for the first time last year whenever I flew up to Maine to visit my family in May. And I'm like, do you guys want me to pull your lawnmower out and mow it? And I said, what's going on? It looks really raggedy up here. And they're like, no, it's No Mow May. And I'm like, what?
So I'll let No Mow May, that. Yes. Well, we have a wonderful landscape designer coming on in our next segment. And Benjamin Vogt. He is author of Prairie Guides, and he Prairie Designs. He mowing No Mow May is part of his philosophy, but he's got a different way to look at it. And so I want everyone to understand that there's pros and cons to it, and he's going to come on and tell us about it. He is a wonderful designer. The meadows and prairies he designs, we can do here in Florida. And so you're going to be very interested in hearing what Benjamin Vogt has to say. So stay tuned. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Watkins. My guest today is Benjamin Vogt, author of Prairie Up, An Introduction to Natural Garden Design, as well as A New Garden Ethic, Cultivating Defiant Compassion for an Uncertain Future. His design work has been featured in The American Gardener, Dwell, Fine Gardening, Horticulture, Midwest Living, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and House. He owns the firm Monarch Gardens and speaks nationally on natural design, using native plants as well as landscape ethics. Thank you for joining us this morning, Benjamin. It's an honor to have you on Better Lawns and Gardens.
Thank you, Teresa. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you all today.
You write that in your childhood, your mother planted the seed of gardening within you, but it was Minnesota that put you on your path to natural landscape design. What was it about Minnesota that encouraged your passion and philosophy for nature and its wilderness?
Yeah, when I was 10, we moved up from Oklahoma to Minnesota, and it was just a totally different habitat, as you can imagine. The biggest thing for me was seasons. We have four full seasons, and just to experience the richness and diversity of those just really opened me up to the natural environment around me. And nature was always so close to you. You're always close to woods and water, and there were constantly geese flying overhead, and it was just to me, compared to where I was living in Oklahoma to where I ended up living in Minnesota, the vastness and richness and closeness of nature was mind-boggling.
It sounds beautiful. Now, your website, Monarch Gardens, has a beautiful gallery of your landscape designs that features prairies, ornamental grasses, natural front yards, slopes and mediums, as well as a large display of colorful wildflowers. They are incredibly beautiful. What is your criteria for designing prairies and meadows?
Yes, right now I am mostly working on lawn conversions and specifically urban and suburban front yard conversions for homeowners. And I just love this. So many people are interested in doing this. So in front yard lawn conversions, I pay special attention to using plants that are well behaved, that are relatively short so people can see over them and in turn feel safer and be able to read and interpret the landscape a little bit more easily as their eyes move across it. And I'm also paying very careful attention to repeating masses and drifts of flowers and having bloom succession throughout the entire growing season, as well as having cues to care, pathways, sitting areas, and signs that welcome people in and tell them a little bit about the purpose of this natural landscape.
Oh, that sounds great. So now, one of my most requested design aspects are low-maintenance landscapes. Are prairies and meadows low-maintenance?
They absolutely can be. I think the key to any garden, any landscape that is quote-unquote low maintenance is making sure that you are choosing plants that are fitted to the site conditions. That means soil, drainage of the soil, moisture levels, sunlight levels, as well as the other plants that are being placed with that plant in the community. So they all work well together to knit together and they sort of, you know, just work together and respect one another as they build the community. So with prairie and meadow gardens, Once we have made these intelligent decisions with plants being in the right place, it's generally after a couple of years, just mowing in the late winter, spring, and maybe doing some touch-up planting in the fall if we need to, because plants are like humans. They don't stay around forever.
That's excellent points. Very good. So turf, it's becoming a battle that you're either for it or against it. Is it an either-or choice?
The activist in me wants to very much say yes, but the community member wants to say no. Right now we have this default mode of wall-to-wall carpeting in suburban and urban areas with tons of lawn spaces that are just wasted. They're only used for mowing and watering and fertilizing. They're not used for anything else. So in a suburban home landscape, for example, we want to see lawns having a purpose. That means they're a pathway, or they're a sitting area or a picnic area or negative space in garden design parlance. So we just want to see more lawns with purpose and really rethink how much lawn do you really need? How much do you really use? And could we do something more sustainable and environmentally friendly and positive for all the wildlife and all the people that live in our communities?
Excellent. I so agree. It's you know, people say that turf is bad, but I say it's the people who maintain it that are causing the issues. And so I understand. So No Mow May was started in 2019 by British environmentalists as part of a conservation study to help provide resources for declining populations of pollinators. It was a very interesting study. I loved reading it. It's starting to trend here in the United States. What do people mean when they say No Mow May?
Yeah, No Mow May is this practice of literally not mowing your lawn for the month of May. And there are some problems with that we'll probably get to here pretty soon. But yeah, it's just letting the lawn grow and seeing what comes up. So in that way, you're theoretically helping more wildlife, giving them more habitat, and you're also reducing the fossil fuels you're burning from running the lawnmower.
So what have your observations been of No Mow May?
Yeah, it's, to me, I find it very, very problematic, and I advocate very much against it because, as you say, yes, it was started in England, which is a totally different climate, totally different environment. And here in the United States, I mean, just within the continental 48 states, we have so many diverse, different ecoregions. So in the South, it might be No Mow March or No Mow April, you know, and in the North, it might be No Mow June. But also, in suburban urban environments, we don't have native plant seeds in the soil anymore. So when you stop mowing, you're not going to see a beautiful lush prairie or meadow come up. You're more likely to see a bunch of weeds, some of them that are exotic invasives, come up. And then after a month, you're going to go in and you're going to mow it. You're going to mow that long grass in there really short, and that's going to stress the heck out of it and open up gaps. And that means more weeds can establish and get going.
I can see that happening very quickly. So with a No Mow Month, let's just put it that way, No Mow Month, does it matter if you live in an HOA or don't?
There is, there's a sliding scale to HOAs. There are some HOAs that are really strict and really militant, and there are some that are very loose. So obviously, if you know that you live in a strict HOA and they say something in the bylaws like you have to mow every week, if you have to have this percentage of lawn, then you know that you're going to have to do things differently. You're probably not going to be able to have No Mow May. But if your HOA is very loose, I think you can get away with things. But, instead of not mowing, I'd just rather you reduce as much lawn as you can and convert it to a native plant community.
So what would you suggest to someone who basically lives in a really well-maintained, cared-for community that wants to start it, becoming more wild and be more of an environment ecosystem for pollinators? What would you suggest they do?
I would first consider reducing your lawn by 50%, and the places you can start doing that are in foundation beds. So much of our foundation beds, those beds that hug our homes and buildings, are way too thin, way too narrow. Maybe they just come out 3 feet or so from the house. Think about extending them out 8 feet or even 10 feet out away from the house, and that gives you a lot more opportunity to use more diverse species and really get the plants in there thick and lush to support wildlife and also to reduce weed control, because you're bringing a lot more plants in there, a lot more plant layers into there. Also, island beds. So let's say you've got your foundation bed. It comes out 8 feet tall. Put in put in a circle or oval or kidney-shaped bed out in the middle of the lawn. Maybe that's 100 or 200 or 300 square feet, and you can do a really nice wilder-type landscape in there. But, again, it also comes down to plant choice, right? You don't want to put a bunch of super tall plants that put out a bunch of seed and that are going to spread like crazy. Your plant choice is really key, keeping things short, choosing plants that maybe have a more formal, rounded shape to them. Don't get too tall, all that good stuff. So there is a lot to think about, but the information is out there.
So which one of your books would you suggest for a homeowner to buy and study and duplicate?
Oh, I always suggest people buy about 15 copies of Prairie App. That is the introduction to it. I don't think there are any books out there that really serve as a really basic sort of introduction to people who are really new to this. There's a lot of good books out there for more advanced gardeners, but Prairie App is definitely geared to people who have never done this before and just trying to onboard them and make it easier and build up their confidence and empowerment.
That's great. The title of the book is Prairie Up, An Introduction to Natural Garden Design by Benjamin Vogt. And so where can people find more information, Benjamin?
Yeah, I'm trying to build my own little Unlawn America empire over here. So at the website Monarch Gardens, monarchgard.com. You can just Google Monarch Gardens Benjamin Vogt. But, you know, we've got 18 online classes, and we're getting ready to put some more up there. We have 15 garden guides, 200 free blog posts. We've got some really snarky T-shirts you can wear in front of your neighbors and cheese them off. But there's lots of good resources at the website because we want it to be this wholesale place for everybody of every skill level to come and find something useful.
Oh, that's great. I'm speaking this weekend at the Florida Wildflower Festival in DeLand. And so I'm going to be recommending your book really right away for all the attendees there. So I did not touch on maintenance. What kind of maintenance do wildflower gardens and prairies and meadows need? Is there certain criteria or certain items that they need to make sure that they do?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to approach maintenance. Well, actually, there's lots of ways to approach maintenance, but it sort of depends, too, on if you have a shade meadow or a sun meadow, because these landscapes don't just have to occur in sun. If you want it to be really easy and really simple, you can just mow it down at the highest setting towards the end of winter into early spring once the ground temperatures are above 50 degrees, not the air temperatures, but the ground soil temperatures. There are some folks out there who will only mow part of it and leave it standing so that overwintering bees and insects and butterflies and all that good stuff still have a place to shelter. There are folks who will leave things standing 12 inches tall because 25% of our native bees nest in the pith of leftover stems from last year. So it's good to leave some of those 12 inches tall. I know coneflower is a big one, and Joe Pyeweed are big ones that our native bee species use.
Oh, excellent, Benjamin. Thank you so much for coming on today with your well-founded and experienced perspective. Tell us again how our listeners can get your award-winning articles and books.
Yeah, please visit the Monarch Gardens website, monarchgard.com. Just Google Monarch Gardens and Benjamin Vogt, and you will find me.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you coming on today. It's been quite an honor. I really admire what you're doing and all of your effort.
Oh, thank you all so much. You guys are doing great things in Florida, so Prairie Up to you.
Thank you so much. Lizzie, I just loved speaking to him. Mm-hmm. It was an opportunity that I didn't want to pass up. I didn't want to wait till May because people start to plan these and they'll say, oh, next year I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And so it's very important to understand that, you know, not mowing isn't the right thing to do everywhere. So
exactly.
We have beautiful wildflowers growing all up and down the highways and stuff right now. So the wildflowers and the prairies and the meadows we can do here in Florida. So I want everyone to think about what they could do in their yard. So we're going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. It's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you know someone who loves to garden or has questions, please let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Tell them to call in with their gardening questions so I can help them too. And we're taking your gardening questions right now. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. I'd like to thank Benjamin Volk for coming on. He's a really wonderful landscape designer and also an expert on growing prairies and meadows and just having a nice wildlife backyard, front yard. And he was wonderful. So I do appreciate him coming on. His book is Prairie Up. And so, Lizzie, I thought he was great.
I think he was amazing. It was good. It was also good to see that you guys kind of have the same thought process, too.
Yes. His design is I pull my plants away from the foundation and I extend the garden beds. Yes, I do the same thing. So I really appreciated that. Lizzie, I had trouble at the beginning of the hour with, and I'm still having it, Humagalagas. I don't think I got it correct. You have how it's pronounced, though,
yes,
right?
Here we go.
Homologous.
Homologous. There you go. It still sounds wrong, doesn't it? Homologous.
It does.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So talking about weeds and, you know, trying to change your turf out and things. So when if you have weeds in your yard, it's very important to understand that you don't let them go to seed. Okay, let them go to seed, and that means that they've been growing all winter or all summer long, and then they flower and they produce seeds. That is a really big problem. Do you know a one-year-old Florida pusley, and that is that flower that you see that looks kind of a very light lavender that we call Florida snow. That's Florida pusley in the medians and on the side of the road that looks that little purple flower ground cover. A one-year-old Florida pusley seedling, if it goes to seed, means that you have 7 years of weeding. So if it flowers and it goes to seed, you can just guarantee that those seeds are going to drop and you're going to see weeds for 7 years.
What?
So you just you want to make sure you're mowing your weeds so that they don't go to flower, or that you're using a herbicide on them, a pre-emergent, if you don't have any and you think you're going to get it next year. Let's say you have it this year and you don't want it next year, then you're going to have to put the pre-emergent down depending on what time of the year it grows in. So we do have our winter seeds, our winter weeds, and we have our summer weeds. And, you just got to stay on top of it. And it might take you 2 to 3 years of, actually using an herbicide to get rid of a weed.
So this isn't like a myth, like don't break a mirror or don't open an umbrella inside the house. Like this is like legit.
This is legit. This is a word of warning, word of caution. You know, heed my advice. And so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And I want to say good morning to Ira. He sent me the most beautiful text message and beautiful flowers and a gorgeous flamingo. He has flamingos in his yard, Lizzie.
I'm actually a little jealous, to be honest with you. That is awesome.
And his beautiful red amaryllis are blooming right now. And mine are blooming at the house. I posted a picture of this double amaryllis on my Facebook page. And it just blows me away. And I've got some really unique amaryllis growing. So I'm very pleased with that as well. Today I'm going to be at the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival. I'll be speaking at noon on natural pest control. I would love for you to come by. And the Wildflower Festival is a great event for anyone. So you can do that. Let me go to my, I have an email message right here. Somebody sent me in a great email message. So let's go to that. Hold on just a second. Let me go. There we go. All right. So I have, who was it? Let's see. Oh, I don't have her name. I'm sorry. She sent me a photograph of a Christmas cactus. And she said, what is this on the end of my Christmas cactus? And I am going to respond to her. But she's very, very lucky. And I don't know when the last time I saw this on a Christmas cactus, But lucky you, this is a month of luck, right? March. That is a seed pod for a Christmas cactus. And it's light pink. And so that seed pod may contain anywhere from 12 to 100 small chocolate brown seeds. They could be black, depending on the variety. So if you would like to start your own Christmas cactus seed plants, then you can sprinkle the seeds onto moist soil mix, one part perlite to three parts peat, in a tray or a pot. Keep them shaded and moist. Your seeds are going to germinate in about 2 to 3 weeks. And that is, I'm really very excited for you. So you want to put the location of the seeds in an indirect, bright indirect sunlight and facing the either southeast or west windows would be great. And then transplant the seedlings into individual pots when they appear. And so
that is crazy because I literally last night took a picture of my Christmas cactus and I just texted them to you and I meant to remember to ask you, but I totally forgot. But mine is like changing color. I'm like, okay, are we confused with this weather? Do you think it's Christmas time or what?
So, oh my goodness. Look at, well, so no. So this is, those are new leaves on yours.
But they're pink and they have little pink ends.
They
look
do.
At both of them, yeah.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Let me see the other one.
This is
oh,
crazy.
Yeah. Oh, that's a seed pod. That yellowish one.
I'm so excited now.
There you go. You've got a seed pod, Lizzie. Is that not synchronistic? Oh my goodness.
I am growing up and getting so big.
If you'd like, yeah, so Nick, we have you in Polk County. We're going to get to your gardening question. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens and your gardening questions. Give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And this is Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We still have time for your phone call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680 like Bobby did. And Bobby said that he sent me beautiful pictures of his amaryllis, and he had called the show last year and said, what do I do? They didn't bloom this year, and I told him what to do, gave him some fertilizer, and kind of they're blooming now and they look great.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, so way to go, Bobby, that's wonderful. Let's go to Nick in Polk County. Good morning, Nick. How can I help you?
Good morning. I listen to Tom and Joni forever, and now I enjoy terrifically listening to you, Teresa.
Thank you so much.
I live in Polk County, Auburndale. Uh-huh. I've got 2.5 acres, Bahia grass. I've always had a beautiful lawn. Over the last 6 months or so, I've started getting a different grass in there that's spreading like crazy. And a guy that had lived in Florida all of his life, I have too. But anyway, he says it's pretty sure it's crabgrass.
Okay.
How do I get rid of it? Now, my solution is round up it when it dies, dig it up, and replace it with sod. But what is the professional?
Well, that's so crabgrass, you really have to do what you're saying after it's growing. Once it's growing, there's really nothing you can do except to use an herbicide to get rid of that area. And you're right, you have to then resod that area afterwards. Okay, but what I want you to do now is in the fall, put down a pre-emergent so that the new seeds won't grow up, you know, won't germinate. And then before the next season, before springtime, in like February, mid to late February, put down a pre-emergent again. We're just going to keep them from even growing or even germinating. So you want to get a handle on that.
Put the pre-emergent down in the fall and then again in the spring?
Yes. And that's going to keep the new seeds from germinating. So you want to keep your lawns mowed and everything right now. Now, if you want, the quickest way to get rid of it is what you're saying, the herbicide. But I would just suggest that you just keep your lawn mowed, keep it down, and then go ahead and put a pre-emergent down in the fall.
it's been so dry this last few several months, maybe a year, but we're getting a lot of weeds in it. Is there something I can just spray the whole lawn with, trying to get rid of the weeds and not hurt the bahia?
Yeah, well, you can, you want to use the product called 2,4-D dicamba. And so don't use weed and feeds. We really don't, as the University of Florida, IFAS, they don't recommend putting down a weed and feed, because you're really, you know, when you put fertilizer down, you're feeding your weeds too as well. And so, so go ahead and just use 2,4-D dicamba, follow the label.
Okay, make sure, 2,4-D, what was that last word?
Dicamba, D-I, capital C-A-M-B-A, dicamba.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the, and
I
that's
go ahead and treat it now with that 2,4-D.
Yes. And especially after the rainfall, don't do it before the rainfall, do it after the rainfall, and it should be good to go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Show.
Thank you so
Have
much, Nick.
Day.
You too. That was very nice. Let's go to Jay in Orlando. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm great, too. I've got a leech tree that I'm going to put bird netting around to keep it keep the fruit.
Okay.
And I want to know, and I know it has to be pollinated. Now, can the bees get through that, through any bird netting?
Yes, they can. So if you're using an actual cover net that it will keep the birds and the squirrels away, the bees still can get through that, yes.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Lychee tree. They do. The squirrels and the birds love lychee. I had another client with a big one, and they had to put a net over it, too, because they just never – that squirrels and birds don't share.
Well, this is the first – we've got about a 12-foot, and this is the first year that it's actually fruiting, and we want to do – we know about the birds and the squirrels.
Well, there you go. Good for you for being proactive. I appreciate that. All right, take care. Let me know how you do. That's Jay in Orlando. 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we'd love to talk to you about what you would like to grow. And so this is the month. You want to make sure, so if you're getting weeds, you want to make sure you're having the best cultural practices, best management practices for your lawn. And so one, don't want to overwater or fertilize your weeds, okay? So when you think you're doing a good job in watering your lawn, you're actually creating an environment where the weeds that love water are going to take hold. And one of those is dollarweed. And dollarweed is an aquatic plant. It only grows in lakes, shorelines, low-lying areas that have water that, you know, kind of sits for a couple of days, and also lawns that are overwatered. Right now, we're only going to should be only watering twice a week. But if you got any rain yesterday or today, there's no need to water for another 4 to 5 days. You want to water as infrequently as possible. Even doing once a week is fine, as long as you put down 1.5 inches of water per application. Doesn't matter if you divide it by two and do it twice a week or just once a week. You don't have to overwater here in Florida. Also, too, you want to make sure that you do shallow cultivation. And what I mean by that is that you don't want to dig down really deep and rototill or till your yard, because you're bringing up weed seeds that haven't seen the light of day for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And once they get the sunlight, then they're going to start to germinate. It's why, you know, and this is a really big problem, explaining to some of my clients when they'll see weed seeds come or seeds come up and like nutsedge, is because those seeds were way down deep below. And when we were digging the plants up, we brought those seeds up to the top. Don't dig deep. Just do shallow cultivation and then mulch. You want to do your beds where you're mulching at least 3 to 4 inches, and you can keep it 1 to 2 inches around the house so that you don't have wet foundation, but 3 to 4 inches around your shrubs and trees, and that is going to keep your weed seeds from germinating. It's going to be dark enough underneath there. They're not going to see any sunlight, and they're not going to germinate. And then if you need to, if you have a large area and you don't want to use chemicals on your lawn, then you can go ahead and solarize it. You need to put the plastic down, keep it down for 8 to 12 weeks, and, you know, really kill those seeds, bake them out of the ground. And we can do that here in Florida, and we can do that coming up over the next few months during summertime. It's a good time to solarize your lawn. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680, and we can do that. So then also, too, you want to make sure that when you are buying plants, and I do this when I go to nurseries and sometimes the box stores, and they have weeds in the pots. Have you seen that?
Yeah, and that free stuff.
Yeah, I do not buy plants. I mean, I do not buy weeds. So while I'm standing there at the counter paying for my haul, all my plants that I'm going to put in the car, I clean them out and I throw the weeds right in the garbage can right there at the counter so that I don't take them home. So look at your plants when you're buying them. And sometimes, it's just not possible to sell or have plants in a nursery or a garden center and not get weeds in them. It happens, but you don't have to buy them, and please don't take them home.
Yeah, don't throw them on the ground either. Put them, did. Put them in the garbage.
Put them in the garbage. Yeah, be respectful. That's fine, too. And so if they missed any of the show this week, Lizzie, they can go on to anywhere where they hear a podcast.
That's right. Just look anywhere you listen to your podcast. Just search Better Lawns and Gardens, or you can go to our website, which is betterlawns.com. I know I threw in gardens last time, but it's betterlawns.com. And you can scroll down and you can get all the podcasts there.
And you can hear them 24/7.
Yes.
So if you wake up in the middle of the night and you just want to hear my voice, you can just go to the podcast and turn it right on.
Everybody's getting on that one.
1-888-455-2967. I'm going to be speaking today. Please come out to the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival. I'd like to thank Brooke Moffis from the Lake County Extension office in Lake County on 1951 Woodley Road, Tiberias, Florida. Next week, they're going to have their giant Master Gardener plant sale, and that's going to be 8 to 12. Get there early. I'm serious. Get there at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Stand in line. And then, because I will tell you, by 11:30, the pickings are pretty slim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they have really great plants, really great prices. I want to thank Benjamin Vogt with Prairie Up. He's the author and garden expert horticulturist for designing prairies and landscapes with meadows in them. And his cautions on No Mow May, not a good idea. So thank you very much, Benjamin, for coming on today. I really do appreciate it. Lizzie, as always, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. We have the best listeners in the whole wide world. So thank you for calling and texting and
sending us those beautiful pictures.
Oh, yeah. And so if they want to email you a question, how do they get a hold of you, Teresa?
They can get a hold of me. My website is she-consulting.com. That's SHE-consulting.com. You can go to my website. You can send me an email there, or you can just go to betterlawns.com and send me an email. And you can send me photographs that way. That'll be good. I'd like to see them. Give me your name and your location so I can better help you. It's been a great show. Thank you so much for everyone who called in and texted today. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you go to betterlawns.com to check out the latest podcasts and download them from there. Also, you can still text us over the weekend at 23680. That's 23680. Just let Teresa know your first name, location, and what your question is, and I will pass those along to her.